Do me a favor before you're seated. I know Bobby had you say hi to one another. Before you're seated today, I want you to get out in the aisle, say hi to a couple people. But how many of you have ever gotten just a gift that you hated at Christmas or for your birthday? I mean, probably most of us have gotten gifts like that. When you say hi to one another, why don't you take a moment and kind of tell somebody about the worst gift you ever got? Get down the aisle, say hi to each other, tell them about that. Some people are like really upset as you tell this story. It's bringing back some bad memories for people, isn't it? Be seated. Thank y'all. Open your Bibles to the New Testament, to the book of James. I don't know what the worst gift I ever got was, but I know it would be something along the lines of something that somebody thought I needed and not what I wanted, right? Chances are good it was probably a tool. Because if you come to my house, I have a hammer, a screwdriver. Well, I have a regular and a Phillips, so I'm up to two now. And I have a wrench that's all rusted up that's adjustable. And that's pretty much my toolbox. So probably my worst gift ever was something where somebody decided I needed a tool or something like that instead of getting me something cool that I wanted, right? Isn't that kind of how it is? Somebody gives you something you need, a vacuum cleaner, a frying pan, a toaster, a tool, something like that. Hey guys, will you pull these monitors out for me, please? Thank you. But it's probably something along those lines where you got something you needed, not necessarily something you wanted. I'm going to finish the series on faith today. We've been talking about faith for about 6 or 8 weeks. And what we've talked about is that faith in our life, it has to be tested. You're never going to know what you truly believe until you have to believe it, until you have to lay hold of something, until you have to claim it. And faith is the thing that we bank everything on. You know, this whole thing starts with faith. We have faith in God, that He saves us, and we begin a journey with Him. And then everything after that, I mean, we've never seen God, we've never seen heaven. You know, it's all based on a book that we believe God ordained to be written. And then our entire journey is based on faith. And what we're going to learn about today is that your faith has got to be tested. It's going to go through trials. It's going to go through moments where it's just stressed almost to a breaking point. And there's reasons for that. It's kind of like faith has to have these gifts that I was talking about, where God has to give you things you need from time to time, not always what you want. And you see, that's where faith is going to be tested, because if you ultimately and truly believe in God, then you got to believe in God on the bad days as well. Amen? And there's going to be times where that's really going to be tested, because you're going to start questioning God. You're going to start questioning what you believe about God and all. And if we're not careful, we'll bail out of processes that maybe God is trying to walk us through. And when we do, we short circuit our completion, us growing and maturing in Jesus Christ. So let's look at James chapter 1. I want to read just a couple verses. Beginning with verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be what? Say it. Perfect or complete, right? Lacking nothing. Now, this next verse you need to tie into what we just read. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, without prejudice. I mean, he'll give to any person wisdom, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And then it goes on and on and on. Actually, the entire book is pretty much about faith. But James teaches us right off the bat. He says, listen, it's going to happen. And so here's some of the things we've talked about over the last several weeks. Faith, the goal of your faith is to honor Christ. It has to get to where it's solid enough in your life that when the world or even when the church is watching you and you're going through a tough time or uncertain times, it doesn't have to be crazy, all hell broke loose times. It could just be uncertain times in your life. But it has to be brought to a place to where your faith in uncertainty brings honor to Jesus Christ. Amen? And I mean, so we have to understand there's going to be a bigger picture at work, because all we typically look at is the secular, the visible. And when we're walking through things, if we believe there's a God behind the scenes, there's going to be times we have to see a bigger picture than the world right in front of us. Say amen. So I want to talk to you for a few moments about God's gifts in faith tests. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for letting us be here today. Thank you, God, for the gift of song and music and just a chance, God, for words to truly reflect the attitude of our hearts, God. Thank you for your amazing grace. For inviting us into a relationship with you, God, is incredible. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds even further than they already are, and that we would receive from you and life would be better and eternity would be just more focused in our lives, God. Thank you for it in Christ's name. And amen. But faith has to be tested, and testing means it's got to be stressed. And when it's stressed, it's going to reveal its true strength. You see, you don't know what kind of faith you have until it's tested. Amen? You don't know what you're capable of until you have to be capable of something. Now, let me read the Message version of what we just read out of the New King James. It says, consider it a sheer gift. Think of that. Consider it a gift when tests and challenges come. I can't read this, actually. Lights are out. Hold on. I'll face this way so I can read it. I love you. I just can't see it. It's in red. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and faith come at you from all sides. You know, under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Now tell me this. When's the last time you went into a test and you thought it was a gift from God? It's one of those gifts, is it not? It's a gift that God knows he has to give you from time to time because you need it. But it's not something we ever want. Am I right? I mean, it's not one of those places we live in our faith life. Well, how you doing? Well, praise God. I've got a gift. You do? If we told somebody we got a gift from God, we'd be thinking Corvette. Right? I mean, something cool. Well, what's your test? What's your gift? It's a test. Consider it a gift. When you go through the testing of your faith, because the test will reveal the true colors of your faith. And your faith, ultimately, when it's tested, will be solidified if you don't short-circuit it to where ultimately it begins to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. If you're going to ever get to where you think tests are gifts, do you understand where we have to start seeing beyond what we see? Because, man, all we see typically is what's right in front of us. Am I right? And it's either the bills aren't paid, the kids aren't acting right, the dog messed the carpet up, I mean, whatever it is, and it's right here. You know, how's your job? I'm going through it right now. And you know, you may not realize that just behind that, God is saying, you know what? I want to see what they really believe. I want to see if what they say on Sunday is real in their life on Tuesday. I want to see when all hell breaks loose, if they'll hold on to me. I mean, he's not going to let you go, but you know, sometimes he wants to see if you can go through some stuff and grow up in him a little bit. I'm not sure that any of us would invite faith tests into our life, and that's why God has to give them to us from time to time as a gift to form and solidify the faith in our life. Faith, it's our handle in the unseen world. We talked about that. Faith, it's our deep trust in God. And you know, one of the things that test will reveal in your life is what you truly have faith in. You see, if you get in a tough spot and it drives you to your knees and it makes you go closer to God, you believe in God, that God is good and all those other things. But if in a test you start drifting from God and you start turning to other things or other people, you'll find that you have possibly faith or trust in something more than you have it in God. And God wants to begin to teach you how to put all your trust in him. We talked one week and said sometimes we have faith in ourselves and the way we pray, or we've got to get in touch with so-and-so, or we've got to say it loud or whatever. And all at once, instead of having faith in God, we have faith in mechanisms and pieces and things we put in our life. Your faith will be revealed. It will be shown as what it is when you go through the test. You see, it's not faith until it's faith. It's not faith until it's tested, and then you find out what you really have. James, the writer of this book, is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He died with rocks being thrown at him. I can't ever say stoned. Anyway, some of you will get it later. But they stoned him to death for his faith. And so you're hearing from somebody that knows, I mean, he understood. He was the half-brother of Christ. And man, you're talking about walking around and probably getting picked on by the kids. And Simon Peter, the guy that dies on a cross upside down because he didn't want to die right side up, didn't feel worthy to die like Christ died. This is what he says. He says, "Greatly rejoice if you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which will be tried by fire, would be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says, Simon Peter, he says, "Greatly rejoice if you're going through some trials, because your faith has got to be tested like gold through fire, that you'll find it to be more and more pure, ideally, as you go on." If you and I were at the Barnes & Noble and we were looking for faith self-help books, if you grabbed the book of James and started reading it, I doubt you'd buy the book. I mean, think how he starts. He says, "Hey, I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave to God. I'm his man. And you need to greatly rejoice at the testing of your faith." I mean, we'd put it right back up, would we not? It's like, I'm looking for self-help. I'm looking for, hey, you're going to make it, Bob. Hey, you know, just have faith in this. I'm looking for self-help stuff, not for stuff that says, all right, here's the opening to my book. Because typically the opening tells you what it's going to say, right? You're supposed to say what you're going to say, then say it, then say what you've said. Isn't that how you write? Right? Right? And so if you open that up and he says, here's what I'm going to say, and he says, here it is, "Greatly rejoice when your faith is put to the test." I mean, we'd just put it back up, would we not? Because that's a tough place to live, to where we start considering it a gift of God when he lets us go through tough times. And yet, This is exactly what we need to hear from time to time, because we've all figured out life is not always going to be pleasant. God's not always going to do what we think God should do. He's not always going to answer every question the way we want Him to answer it. And every prayer doesn't get answered before we say amen. Everyone's not going to line up. I mean, and so we need to know, how do we act during the difficult times? See, we're a people that we want a no diet diet, right? Right? I want to be on a diet without having to quit eating Reese cups. That's the diet. I want the no, yeah, amen. Someone felt God there. Did you feel it? Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, you want the no workout workout. You want the no diet diet. And we want the no faith required faith. We want to be able to do this pretty easily, because when we get in God's club, we think it should all work right, and it doesn't. And so if you're going to be able to take some unwanted gifts and find the good in them, you got to read stuff like this. Because whether you like it or not, God's going to give you what you need sometimes, not always what you want. And so we're going to read through a few scriptures here and look at what James says. If you want to find the good in the tough times of your faith, this is the formula. And here's exactly what he says. He says, first off, count it all joy. And that word count, that's exactly what it means, count. If you're going to find the good in the gifts of faith test, he says you're going to have to count it all up from time to time. And you know what that word count means? It's an accounting term actually used here. It means to almost, if you could sit down during the tough times of your life and write the pros and the cons, the pluses and the minuses, the additions and the subtractions in the situation. And what he says is you need to count it all up. You need to literally take stock in it, because no matter what, you may look all at the minus side and yet forget there's some good in tough times. Hello? And what he says is literally count it all joy. And when it says all, you know what all means? You're good. You are good. You know what all means? All. Count it all joy. You mean what I'm going through right now? I need to come to a conclusion that that's good in my life? Yes. Maybe not always in your life, but for your faith. Hello? Count it all joy. All means what? All. And what it means is, all means each and every piece of that moment. You may look at it overall and think, I can't find the good in this. And what he says is, count each and every piece of it. You ever reconciled your checkbook or anything like that? It doesn't matter what you put in your checkbook, right? It matters what the bank says you put in your checkbook. Isn't that how that works? Hello? So you see, you get all your stuff out, and then you get the statement, right? And it doesn't matter if you say you put $400 in your bank. If you move the decimal one place over and they say, no, it was really $4, guess how much you put in your bank? $4. And it doesn't matter if your wife told you the shoes were only $38, but the bank says she forgot the one in front. How much were the shoes really? $138, right? You see, you reconcile it to what you think, but then ultimately you reconcile it to what they say is right. And you see, when you start counting all the stuff in your life and the stress test going on of your faith, and you start saying, well, this is how I see this, and I'd put this in this column, and I'd put this in this column, and man, we've been fighting like dogs in the house. I'd put this in this column. And then God would say, but you need to reconcile that not just to what you think. You need to reconcile that to what I say about your situation. And you see, if you would take what he says about some things, maybe some things you've put down as deficits are actually additions right now. And maybe what you would put down as, you know, almost total destruction, God would put down as, it's really not as bad as you're saying it is. And maybe where you thought, well, God gave me a little blessing, God would have it, no, I saved your life. If I didn't show up on that Tuesday for you, man, you'd have been really stupid. And all at once, it's not just how you see it. It's how God sees it. And so when James says, count it all joy, he means you need to literally start reconciling yourself and your record of the moment to how God sees this moment. And he'll tell us how in a moment, because you're thinking, I don't know how God sees this. How could God? And I'm not, let me make two points here. God's not behind every tough time in your life. Sometimes life happens, sometimes you make life happen. Say amen. So, I mean, you have to really figure that piece out as well. But he says, count it all joy. Reconcile it to what God says. And then he says, when should you do this? When you fall into trials or temptations. Now, think of the word fall. What that means is not that you're falling down. Have any of you, you know, come here on a Sunday, had a good day, and before Monday evening, something happened you didn't see coming, and all at once your Sunday's gone? Anybody? Four of us? Rest of you are lying right now. I mean, it happens, does it not? You can't, you know, things are good, and then, bam. Well, in this context, you fell into a temptation of your faith. If all the dots don't connect and you don't know how to make life work sometimes, that's what James is talking about. When you can't figure it out, when you don't know how it's going to work out, and fall means it simply came upon you unexpectedly. You didn't see it coming. You were here on Sunday saying, my chains are gone. And by Monday, man, you feel like hell has come to your house and is doing vacation. He says, well, count it all joy if you fall, if you didn't see it coming, if you weren't prepared for it, and yet all at once your faith is being tested. Because it's ultimately, again, there where you find out how real your Sunday is. Hello? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptations. And the temptation here is not sinful, by the way. It's not what it means. The temptation is that it would start impeding your walk of faith. Have you ever felt like your ability to walk by faith is being hindered because of the trials you're in? Anybody? I have. Man, I've been there. I mean, I've stared at the big blue sky before and said, do you really believe there's a God that created all that? I mean, I've been in those moments. And he says, you need to understand there's a good thing behind that when that's going on. Count it all joy when you fall into the temptations of your faith. And what it means is, in those moments, your faith is being tested. And so your test is, you want to turn away from God. And I don't mean walk away so much as you want to get your hands in stuff. You know, it's like, I know if I'm just obedient to God right now, he'll take care of it, but I'd like God to have it fixed by 3 p.m. And when he's not, you start mingling with junk. Anyone know what I'm talking about? All at once, it's like, you know, I want to see my kids this. I want to see my husband or wife this. I want to see this happen, but it's not. So I think I need to help it a little bit. And all at once, the temptation is that you'd quit obeying God. It's hard to obey God when you think God is going slower than you are. Am I right? And he says, listen, you've got to understand and see a bigger picture in that moment, or you'll start messing up the test. Be joyful, because God has given you a gift you need, not necessarily a gift you want. And the only way you're going to find good in that is to see past all the stuff that you're looking at and realize there's a God at work in you right now. And he's working on your faith. Hello? You glad you're here today? All right. Listen what he says. Listen. You see, the real test is that we turn from obeying in that moment. The real test is that we would turn from being patient. When the Bible says be patient and wait on the Lord, that doesn't mean sit down and suck your thumb and be all, I'm waiting on God. It's not what it means. It means to lean forward with great anticipation, because while you're waiting on God, God's going to do something ridiculous for you. And so when it says to be patient, to wait, knowing, the Bible says that when you fall into temptation, listen to what he says, you have to know that the testing of your faith leads to patience or endurance. Count it all joy. Knowing when you fall into various tests of your faith, that it's going to lead to your endurance or greater patience. And don't ever pray for patience, by the way, right? There's only one way you learn patience, and that's by impatient situations. Let God decide when you need a patient test. Amen? But he doesn't mean just patience. It means that God's trying to teach you how to be steadfast when the world around you is shaking a little bit. That God is trying to teach you how to be constant when the world around you doesn't seem very constant right now. That God is trying to teach you how to endure difficult times because the world feels like a really shaky place right now. That's just one verse. He says, listen, count it all joy. Add it all up. Reconcile it to God. See what he says about what you're going through. Because you're going to go through various trials and temptations that will make you want to turn from obeying. And yet, if you'll stay steadfast, know this, that the trial you're in right now is making you a stronger Christ follower than you were before you started the trial. Let's give God a hand clap of praise today. And then he says, listen, here's the big picture. You think you're looking at the big picture with what you see, right? Here's what it says God's looking at. Your completion is what he's looking at. If you keep going through tests and he has to bail you out every time, do you understand you're not complete? If he orchestrates a test of your faith and you walk through it, do you understand you're better for having went through it? Right? And God, I mean, again, this is a gift I need, but I don't want them. I don't want my faith to have to go on trial. And yet God says, hey, sorry. I'm going to give you gifts you need from time to time, but they're not going to be necessarily gifts you want. Because God's not working on getting me Corvettes and all that junk. Even though, hey God, be cool. But anyway, you know what he's working on? A part of me you can't even see. A part of me that cranks all up when I'm having a bad day. A part of me that starts getting like that when I'm not sure how this all plays out. That's what he's working on. And you know what starts running through here? Do I really trust that God's will for me is better than my will? Do I really trust? I mean, really, 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 really trust that God really is good right now. Do I really trust that God is able to do more than anything I hope or ask for right now, and that he's more real than the circumstances I'm walking through? Do I really believe that? Do I really believe that God loves me more than I love myself? Because, man, sometimes it sure doesn't feel that way. Do I really believe that this is going to work out like people suggest? They'll come to you and say, hey, you know what? It's going to work out. It's going to be, you know, and they mean well, but do I really believe that, man? That's the stuff that gets kind of shaky. Anyone understand? You need to pray. I don't know if I want to pray right now. I don't feel like praying right now. What? You understand where that comes from? Your trust, your faith. And you see, it's what you do when those things try to bubble up that determine the effectiveness of the test you're in. Count it all joy when you fall into temptations or trials of your faith, knowing this, that the testing of your faith leads to endurance or steadfastness, and ultimately to the perfection of the spiritual you. But Bob, I don't understand what I'm going through. Thank God for the next verse. If you don't understand what you're going through, then ask God for wisdom right now. What's wisdom? God's solution to our dilemmas. Doesn't mean he's going to reveal some, you know, facts to you and say, hey, this is what you're going through, there you go. But it means he can show you enough that lets you remain constant in the stressors. God, I don't understand why I got to go through this. I don't understand why this has to happen. I don't understand. But God, could you give me wisdom right now? Because I sure don't want to short circuit what you're doing in my life. I don't want to bail on the processes that you're doing. Amen? And then verse 6 says, but if you're going to ask, you see what he says? If you're going to ask God for wisdom to help you get through tough times, here's what he says in the next verse. Ask in faith. What's being tested? Do you get it? If you're already down here shaking, you're not going to do very well down here, right? God, I need you to help me get through this right now. Well, you better ask in faith. What faith? Whatever faith you have right now. Because if you'll stick with it when God gets you over here a day, a week, a month, a year later, you'll be more complete, more like Christ than you are before the test. And so I want to encourage you. Again, this is not a book I'd buy if I was trying to get help for my faith. I would want the cheerleading and positive affirmation, and yet here's a gift we need but don't always want. You're going to go through tough times. He says, count it all joy when, not if. When you fall, when unexpected events hit you and begin to shake that thing in there, your faith. Count that a joyful moment. Count it a gift from God. Because he's trying to reveal the true colors of your faith. And if you'll stick through the test, it'll come to a place to where you're more constant as a Christ follower than you were before the test. And ultimately, however many series he has to give each one of us, we end up coming to a complete person in our faith. Perfected faith is what it says. So if you're in a tough time, if all you're looking at is the tough time, you'll never find joy. But if you start looking at it as perhaps God is trying to walk me through something, all at once it changes what you see, what you talk about. It will cause you to draw toward God. Amen? I want to close in prayer today. Faith is going to be tested. I've been there. I understand. The easy test, hey, praise God for when you have an easy one. But when it feels like everything you believe in is being shaken, that's one of them that'll change your life, my friend, as a Christ follower. Because you'll find what you do and don't believe in the most shaking times of your life. And if you can just say, God, I need to get through this. I don't want to lose my faith right now. I don't want to turn to others. I want whatever you're doing in my life to be completed right now. You'll look back. And then here's the thing about reconciling. It's harder to reconcile it in real time than it is after. You ever found that out? You can look back 2 years from now and say, you know what, I'm so grateful for what God did. That's where I learned more about me and about God. That's easy when you're down here. It's when you're in the thick of it and you're writing down the negatives and you don't have a list of very many positives. I'm telling you, you would do well. I just hope you hear this, to reconcile it to what God says about it. Because I'd be willing to bet for me and for you, there are times we put stuff on the wrong column and we exaggerate what it is really like, and God says it's not like that. And you probably are seeing that wrong because he's at work in your life. Amen? Can we give him, a ridiculous hand clap of praise before we... I want to pray. I love you guys. Just remember whatever you've learned here in the last couple weeks, because every one of us are going to have our faith tested. And you're going to find moments you want to mess with it. I'm telling you. That's where you need God's wisdom, to keep your hands off of it. Otherwise, you'll be like Abraham trying to make stuff happen you ain't supposed to be doing. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for letting us be here today. I thank you for my brothers, my sisters in Christ, my friends, God, those that are of like faith, that we're just trying to just walk this out, God, in ways that honors you. And the truth is, God, none of us would invite difficult times into our lives. None of us. And yet, sometimes, God, you have to let us go through some difficult places to where we begin to really wrestle with what do we really believe. And so I pray for my friends, God. I pray for me, my wife, my home, each and every person here, each and every home, each and every career, each and every job, every situation, God, that would land in the areas of stressing our faith, that we would be able to hold on in those moments, God, and see past what we really see, and to see the God that is still good, to see the God that is still Jehovah, and he still cares, and he still loves, and that we would find the wisdom, God, that we should find to simply keep walking with you. And so, God, I pray that as we leave here, every one of us would be stronger for having been here today. As we pray for a moment, Genesis, just if you would just kind of honor this moment. But if you would just, kind of to increase the takeaway, say, Bob, I'm really in a tough spot with my faith right now, and I want to be in this place that you're talking about. Would you please pray for me? Would you just take your hand up a moment and bring it back down? God bless you. Yeah, a lot of hands. Yeah, God bless you. Anyone else, just pray for me. My faith is under fire right now. Genesis, would you join with me and kind of just say a silent prayer for those that just said, hey, I need some help here. Father, you're incredible, God. I've been in that place where I couldn't keep myself and you kept me, God. I've been in that place where faith was at best a little thread and you kept me. Truly, God, as I reconcile now, I can look back and know that you did incredible works in me, God. And yet, when you're in that, that's tough to see. And so I pray for my friends that right now are in that furnace. They're in that tough spot. And their faith, God, is being just shaken. I pray that just by them lifting their hands right now, that's a dedication, that's a commitment, that they don't want to mess this up. And that you would give them the wisdom, God, you would give them the perspective to be drawing to you right now, God, and to keep their hands off things. And so I pray that as they walk this out, God, they too would be able to look back and see that you have brought them to greater constancy, God. You have brought them to greater endurance and reliability in their lives, God. Complete in each one of us the work that you have begun. go with us and help us to represent you well this week, God, in Jesus' name. And each and every one of us would say, amen. Genesis, I love you. God